Good morning. Hope you come on Sundays with expectancy. I hope you get excited about it. Just coming to know that we're going to be in the house of the Lord together. Man, how the strength that we can gather for that. And it's just exciting to be here. I hope that you come. I hope that you really realize that no one's here by mistake. Boy, that really came obvious to me this morning as some who were here and shared with me afterwards. That, man, you're here by design. God has a reason for you being here. Whether this is a weekly occurrence or a once a month occurrence or a once a year occurrence or you've never been here before, God has you here for a reason. So we're glad that you're with us today. Last week we started a series, a different kind of series, My Favorite Things. I asked you to write down a story, a verse, a passage that was important to you. And why was it important to you? What was the purpose of that in your life? What was the situation of your life that came up? And I've gotten many of them. We'll never get through all of them. In fact, I'm going to just take them and probably compile them and then just put them on a sheet and share the verses, even if I don't share the names per se, maybe just the first name, and share some of these. They're wonderful. There's just some great things that were learned from that. Last week, we looked at Steve. Steve was with us. And the verse that he chose was 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Now, we set this up, remember, with the feelings of inadequacy. That at times we face our day and, man, we just feel inadequate. We face our life at times, we feel inadequate. Some live in situations that you're made to feel inadequate. Never good enough. And this is such a great verse. And Steve shared with us, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent or adequate in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And today as we come, again, what makes us competent, what makes us adequate is nothing in and of ourselves. It is only what He has done in us and through us. And when you know the Lord, when you've trusted Him as your Savior and as His shepherd, then it says that we are in Christ and we are made new. And the adequacy that we have comes from Him. And we can stop that search for significance. Stop that search for that image of always trying to be what we need to be and realize that we are who we need to be in Christ. And when we realize that, it takes such pressure off of our lives to realize that it's about Him and not about me. To realize that being in Christ means that I need to view myself the way Christ views me, the way God views me. And man, we all have that strife, that battle for significance, for image, for whatever it may be, and yet it's always losing. We'll never be quite good enough. Always striving, always on that treadmill. And yet when we understand that what makes us adequate and competent and worthy today is what He has done in our lives, it's not about us. It's not about me. This morning, we're going to hear from Ruth. Not the book of Ruth, but Ruth, who in Arthur in our church, Ruth, come on up here. You've had one down now, but I told the first service that you get nervous probably or a little bit because this is not scripted. So in the first service, you walked up here just like Steve. I think you got a little like, well, what do you want? I don't tell you what I want. Why would I want to do that? I want to hear from your heart and the first service. So now you have a little sense, but I can always throw you a curveball. You know, yeah. Does that make you anxious? Okay, good, because that takes us right where we're going to go. Ruth, tell us about who you are, your family, and those kind of things, and just fill us in a little bit.
Okay. Good morning, church. I'm Ruth Ollivant. My husband is Arthur Ollivant, and we have two girls, Aretha and Ernell. And my mom and my older sister also come here, Gloria and Harriet. I found out about Grace online, actually, because we used to go to another church. And so during Halloween, this was maybe 3 years back, I'm like, we need to find a place because I know there are churches that do Halloween night and Halloween festival. So I don't want, fall festival. I don't want to be taking the kids around people's houses. So I looked online and I found Grace. So we came here that probably 2014, 2015, I don't remember which year. Anyways, we came out here to Grace and the kids had fun and we really liked it. But we didn't actually come back to join the church until a year later. So we've been here for about 2 years. So we've been blessed and we love it. And my husband and I are on the prayer team. And it's a blessing to be here. We used to live in San Jose and now we've been out here in Lathrop for about 6.5 years.
Great. Yeah, I said the first, I changed packs, by the way, Dave. I said in the first service that her name is Ruth, but Pastor Mike has never gotten that right. And what does he call you?
Olivia.
I guess he just shortened your last name because it's not even your last name. Did we ever find out what he calls Arthur? Did you ask? What was he? He's called him a different name, too.
I think he's got Arthur right, but then he confused Pastor Paul a couple of weeks ago. I forgot what the confusion was, but Pastor Paul blamed it on him.
So. Okay, well, that would be typical, too. Those guys and their names, I understand that. I was moved, as usual, and we're going to look at this because you hit on something that I believe is just like last week with inadequacy, the issue that you brought up, I think everybody deals with at some point. Let's read the verse here, and then you can read through the message, okay?
Okay.
And then we'll go from there. Let's bring the verse up when you read it for us because we love hearing you talk.
Okay. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7.
And you, in the first service, you were going to read it out of a different version, verse 7 especially. Go ahead and do that for us.
Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life.
So you brought up the issue of worry and anxiety and brought up this verse. How does that affect you? How have you seen worry, and then how do you handle it? What happens within that and the anxiety and overwhelming that you feel?
I've been overwhelmed in the past about job situations, finances, family, marriage, and you get overwhelmed and you're just frazzled and you're just, your mind is running all over the place, 1,000 thoughts. What's going to happen next? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get this done? And over the years, I've just come to realize that worrying about it doesn't fix the situation. It doesn't make it go away. It doesn't make it better. You only have to pray and trust God. And that's why I've come to love this verse, that is the one thing you have to do. Call on God. Call upon Him. And there's a song that says, when you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. Instead of worrying and thinking and fretting, just say Jesus. Just pray and call upon Him. And you just feel that sense of calmness over the situation.
Will the world understand that?
No. It's indescribable. That's why the verse here says, before you know it, because it just comes upon you like, okay, I need to settle down. The world doesn't understand it because first you have to be in Christ. You have to be saved. You have to know that Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord of your life. Yeah. And when you dwell in the Word and you read it day in, day out, that's why it says pray without ceasing. It has to be a continual reminder that, okay, the Lord is in control. And that's the difference between us Christians and the world. It's like, how do you go about it? Like, there's this thing that's going on. I'm sick. I have this problem. But once you're in the Word and you just know that you know that you know that, do not be anxious about a situation and He will work it out.
So it's not a one and done.
No.
You have to do
it
continually.
It's a continual process.
Yeah. I asked you in the first service, I'm asking now, if you were to tell different people in this audience, will be a different spectrum, as we talked about in the first service, of the situation of worry in their life. So based upon this verse, recap for what you just said. Tell them what they should do when it comes to the worry or the anxiety of their life.
Don't fret. Don't worry. Because worrying isn't going to fix it. You can't add a hair to your head. You can't add a second breath to your life. In fact, it's going to make it worse because you're just going to worry about one thing, worry about the next. So whatever you're facing today, whether it's a health situation, whether it's family, whether it's a loved one, whether it's finances or just what's going on in the world, we don't know what's going to happen next. Just trust in the Lord. That is what we are called as believers to do. Just trusting Him. Pray. And also the verse says, be thankful. So sometimes when you don't have the word to say, just start thanking Him. Just be thankful. Just add that to your prayer and say, Lord, I thank you for this situation. I don't have a solution now. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm thanking you in advance for the victory. I'm going to just trust you and just let it go. It's hard to do from the human standpoint. I've been there, but if you keep repeating it, like even people that go to psychiatrists and so to say, just say this mantra. So your mantra is prayer. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I trust you. And He will get you through it.
Yeah. Let's do just that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Ruth and Arthur. Thank you for their sweet family. Thank you for bringing them to our family here. I pray that as we talk about anxiety and worry this morning, that wherever we're at on the spectrum, that God, we will learn and that your Spirit today will bear witness in each heart. Thank you for Ruth's life, her story. Thank you for the truth of your word in Philippians, how it changes our lives. May we learn from that today. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Ruth. Yes, thank you. I asked in the first service if she was nervous, and she was. And the reason I knew that is because the mic, she was holding onto the mic so tight that it was dripping. I mean, it was just like, okay. Worry. I doubt if I were to ask if there's anybody here who never worries, there would be any hand that would go up. And if you said that, I'd either say either you're lying, and that may be judgmental, would be, or you've just checked out on life. And you have no value, you just checked out. The issue is we have worry. Now there's a spectrum of worry. And in that spectrum, if you see across it, it can start from concern to worry, to anxiety, all the way to panic. Now, some of this is just psychological, and that doesn't mean it's not true, but it's just the psychological reality of if you go to the journals and read about some of this, you'll see the spectrum. Not all of it is wrong, and not all of it is sin. We can be concerned for individuals. In fact, God tells us to be concerned for individuals. And yet he also says, take no thought, take no concern for your own life. So God gives us a spectrum as well. We're not to worry about the things in life. He even tells us that there's this spectrum of concern to worry, to anxiety, and then to panic. And some of you are very well aware of these on your spectrum, where you fit. Chuck Swindoll says that it's the universal addiction. The universal addiction. We all, he says, addicted to worry of something. I don't think, however, that this verse, when it says, do not be anxious, is a command that cannot be kept. I don't think God does that to us. But in this command, he also gives us the remedy for it. Concern or worry. Now let me just tell you some of the principles of concern versus worry. First, usually, it's all focused on what ifs, is it not? What if? What if this happens? What if this takes place? Or what if something falls apart? Or what if this? Or what if I don't have enough money? All the what ifs. And the extreme from anxiety to panic, you will find that there may not be a focus at all. Some of you deal with anxiety. And if people come up to you and they don't understand it, they say, well, what are you worried about? What are you worried about? And the answer is nothing. I don't know. But I'm worried. I'm anxious. Now, early on the spectrum, they'll have a focus. I'm worried about money. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. But later in the spectrum, you see that there is no focus. And some of you live that way. Some of you will have these anxiety attacks, and you say, well, what is it? What can I do? People will try to help you. What can I do? And you say, I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know what the focus is. It's just overwhelming anxiety. Most of our anxiety and most of our worry and concern is based on fear and the negative assumption. We're fearful of something happening. We usually have a negative assumption, well, what if this or what if that? Seldom, if ever, do we get worried or anxious because we're assuming too good a thing is going to happen. Oh, wow, this is going to be so blessed. I'm worried about how I'm going to handle it. God's going to bless me so much. I'm worried about the good things that are coming. I'm just anxious about that. We don't do that. We see the fear of it. We see the wonder of, oh, no, what's going to happen? And we live by negative assumption. Another thing that brings on worry and concern is a loss of control. Some of you are control addicts. You like to control everything. And when you feel like you can't control it, all of a sudden, here comes the anxiety. Here comes the worry. Well, what if? What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? And it's because we are not in control, as if we think we are in control of anything. In essence, we are in control of very, very, very little. In fact, you've heard me say, and I believe this, I believe there's only one thing that we control. Only one. And that is our response. I think we have the opportunity to control our response to people, to situations, to things. I think that's what God is saying. That's why I don't think this is a command that cannot be kept. He's not like teasing you, say, well, don't be anxious for anything. Ha, ha, ha. But when we have this sense of losing control, as if we think we can control anything. All I can control are the responses to life, the responses to people. And that controls will be based upon how I handle life and when I look at God's word in my life and seeing myself the way he does. But for some on the end of that spectrum, it can be debilitating. Don't look down on those who are having anxiety issues. It can be debilitating. It can knot you up. Matthew 6, what Ruth was referring to, talks about the fact that, listen, what are you worried about? Why are you worried about clothes and food? You see the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Why are you worried about the things that your father knows you need? Why are you trying to control the things? And your stress and your worry is not going to add 1 hour to your life. In fact, it's now proven it's going to detract from the hours of your life. The stress, the blood pressure, all those kind of issues. When you start to worry and take it in. But it also puts the focus on the wrong issues. When we begin to worry, when we begin to have anxiety, worry about any of the what-ifs or the fear-based anything, when we get to anxiety, it puts the focus on the wrong issues. And the first image issues it puts on is us. How are things going to affect me? What can I control? What can I not control? It affects us. And we begin to see things through a small picture. We don't see the majesty of God. We don't see the majestic God, the Creator. We see things through a small picture. It's funny. It takes different forms. There are people in small picture who get worried about the house instead of their hospitality. We've invited somebody so-and-so over, and you get so focused on what your house looks like, what the image is of your house, versus having people to share your heart with and to share time with. Now, there's a balance there, obviously. You don't need to live in a pig pen and have people come and share your pig pen and say, well, it can be a pig pen, but I'm hospitable. No, but there's the issue on the other side of that that just says, I'm not going to invest in anybody because my house just isn't perfect. There's people who get so stressed out about their house that then you wonder, why do you bother having anybody over? You're so stressed out. Some people are more concerned with the appetizers than they are the celebration. You may be throwing a party for graduation or birthday, and you may be the control type and the image type that's so worried about everything just being right that you miss the celebration of what you're really celebrating. Many times within that, we take our abilities and we focus on ourselves instead of depending upon God. Again, it comes back to control our desires ahead of what God's desires are. We want God to align with our desires instead of saying, God, man, I'm gonna do what I can do. I'm gonna go with this, but man, I'm not gonna worry about the outcome. It's up to you. We all face these anxiety issues, and most of all, when we start to worry And when we become anxious, and when we become that issue of, it takes away our understanding of God. The heart of the matter is that when you worry, you are saying, God, you cannot handle this. Write it down. That's what it means. When we begin to worry, when we begin to take on that anxiety, we are fearful of something that God cannot handle. And is that possible? No. So what? So what? Well, yeah, we know all that. So what? Listen, he gives us a prescription in this passage. Some of you need to memorize Philippians chapter 4. But the reality is, first, as Ruth said, he says to pray. What is prayer? It's just a conversation with God. We've talked about this in our life group, the best life group, of course. We've talked about that connection through prayer of what prayer really is. Just conversing with God, talking, having a conversation with God. And when we begin to converse with God, there's a funny thing that happens. When we start to converse with God, it clarifies who we are talking to. It clarifies who I am and who He is. It clarifies that my power is not within me. It's within Him. When we pray, we realize, not just talk about prayer, not just say, well, I need to pray, or would you pray for me? No, when you pray, when you come before God and say, God, here's, man, I may not have the words to say, but He knows the Spirit making intercession on our behalf. When you're so overwhelmed, you don't even know the words. He says, the Spirit of God within you is making intercession on your behalf. It's part of His job. And He says to pray, but He also says to pray with gratefulness. And that's a matter of posture. Some people pray, but they're not grateful. They blame God. Or they come and they're demanding God. God is no man's debtor. God is not indebted to you for the issues that you feel that need to be done. But gratefulness puts us in a servant position. Gratefulness, God, thank you for the blessing of my life. Thank you for helping change my perspective. And when we come with gratefulness, it puts us in that servant role and helps us understand that we are laying our life and open to Him. And the promise that He gives is that of God's peace. As Ruth said, it's not as this world understands. Paul's saying here, the world will never understand that. Newsflash here. Listen. Nothing that this world gives will ever bring you peace. Because anything that this world gives can be taken away like that. And some of you are on the treadmill of thinking, I'm going to find security and I'm going to find peace if I just had a bigger bank account, if I just had this, if I just drove that, had this, wore that, looked this way, if I could do this, if I had a certain image, I'd have peace. And none of it is lasting as the world gives it. But when we understand what He is saying in this passage, not just those few verses, but in this passage, that He gives us a peace, and His peace is far-reaching. No matter what you face, not everything is good. Never in the Word did He say everything is good. Never. Man, sometimes life sucks, and we face stuff, and we think, I'm done, I'm tired of this. Enough. And yet when we're there, He says He is with us no matter what. And that no matter what the things are going on in our life, He doesn't say they're all good, but He does say through our perspective of glorifying Him that He can make all things good. He can make all things bring glory to Him, the way we look at them, the way we take them. And when we understand this, it reminds us that God is capable. It reminds you, it reminds me that when we pray with gratitude and we get that peace, it reminds us that God is a capable God. He's not a weak, anemic God. It reminds us that God is caring, that God cares for you. Never doubt that. I know some that as soon as things go bad, they say, well, God must not care for me. Listen, if God only cares for you in the good times, then He's no God at all. If God's a conditional God that only cares for you when things are going well, and then you turn your back, God doesn't care for me because things are going bad, He's no God at all. I don't want that God. God means nothing. God says, I will never leave you. God says, I know the plans I have for you. God says, I know the beginning and the end. I know that things sometimes aren't so good. Paul's writing from prison, folks. I don't think that's the Hilton where things are good. Great here. I'm assuming the best. He's writing from prison. God is caring. But we must know the truth that God is sovereign, that God is in control. And when we begin to worry and have anxiety about issues of fear, you're saying God isn't in control. God doesn't know tomorrow. I'm worried about tomorrow because that's out of God's purview. He doesn't even understand that. And then we question, is God love? Does God really love me? Because he said he is love, and nothing will separate us from his love, Romans 8. Nothing. So what's the antidote for here? I believe the bookends of this passage give us the antidote. There's two things. First, before it gets to verse 6, he says, listen, let your gentleness be evident to all. Why can we be gentle? Because we're not amped up about the drama of our life and worried about the drama. We can be gentle to all. Why? Because the object of this passage is this. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. And Paul was telling these people, listen, God's with you. He's near you. No matter what you're facing, God is near. He's with you. The end of that passage, as it goes out from here, he says, finally, brothers, here's the things that you need to think on. He says, listen, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. He says, first you need to know that God's near you. He's not forgotten you. You're never forgotten. He's a sovereign God. But he also puts upon us, the onus upon us, to change our thinking. To think about those things that are right and noble and pure. And some of you are saying, sure, that's no big deal, isn't it? For some of you, for me, to take that to the full extent of what it means, you need to turn off Facebook. You need to turn off the news, quite frankly. You may need to guard those in your life that are speaking negativity into your life. What are you filling your mind with? Are you filling with your life those things that bring fear? He says to think, it's not me here. It's not Bill. He says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy, that's what we need to put into our mind. And when we change our mind from looking from the negative side of life to the positive, when we speak that which gives life, when we refresh, you know those verses, he that refreshes is refreshed. He that watereth is watered. Listen, that's what this is talking about. Put into your mind those things that are positive about God. Know who God is, that he's a sovereign God, that he's capable, that he's caring, that he loves you. Think on those things which are true. Know who you are in Christ, and then tomorrow pales in fear. Because I'm depending upon him. No matter what happens tomorrow, he's got it. No matter what happens in the next minute, he's got it. And all I can control is my response. God, you're God. Man, I have had the privilege of knowing people who have had such great faith and through some terrible situations. And the number one thing I hear is, man, I'm sorry it's you. I'm sorry. And those of great faith will always say this, why not me? Jeffrey said that. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jeffrey. Cancer sucks, doesn't it? Who am I? Why not me? We got to change our thinking, folks. We get worried about things. And yet when we worry, we're saying, God, you can't handle it. And God says, I can take whatever it is that comes into your life. And when your response is to trust God, he says, I can make that glorify me no matter what it is. And to realize this is temporary. It's temporary. One day we'll be in heaven. It will all make sense. God is a sovereign God, a good God who loves you and cares for you. I pray if you're struggling with anxiety, that which has no focus, that you would dive into the Word. On a counseling level, if you are here today and you struggle with that panic and that anxiety, I encourage you, and if you were in my office, I would be telling you that I want you to journal every day. I want you to write it. Not type it, not text it. I want you to take a pen and a piece of paper, and I want you to write. And I want you to thank God. I want you to write whatever. Write your prayer to God. Get it down on paper. Because in our writing to God, our heart, we see His heart. You'll know that on this paper, God can handle anything I put down there. And I pray that you would fill your mind with that which is right and true from God's Word. Be in the Word. Renew. Change your mind. Father God, this morning I realize, as Chuck Swindoll says, we all deal with various forms of this spectrum, from worry to debilitating anxiety and panic. So God, this morning I pray that in this prescription, you tell us to pray with gratitude. You tell us to understand that you are a capable, sovereign God who longs and is with us, who is involved in our life. I pray, God, that we will guard our heart and mind by putting in those things that are positive from your Word, knowing who we are in you. Today, as those, as there were in the first service, who are struggling with anxiety, God, may your Spirit just bear witness in their heart. May you comfort them. May you give them clarity. Be with them in this day. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.